Children of God, born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, washed by the blood of the Lamb, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For all the times that I've sung that wonderful song, Amazing Grace, it never occurred to me until this week that perhaps God has his own song to sing. Amazing Faith. And yet that's the picture we have from the reading from St. Luke. A centurion praying to God for the servant who he highly prizes. And God being amazed at this man's faith. With those simple words, "Not even in Israel have I found such faith," we are encouraged to emulate and copy this amazing faith. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, "Now, preacher, that's a pretty simple mistake for a systematician to make. Obviously, this is a case..." I know some of you are thinking this. Obviously, this is a case for the non-reciprocity of the second gayness. Yeah, raise your hands. You're thinking, surely Jesus was amazed according to his human nature, but we can't just say God gets amazed. Amazing common sense tells us God knows all things. How can he be amazed? It's especially tempting for us at times to want to avoid the idea that God can be amazed by faith and that we're encouraged to have an amazing faith. When we're fairly secure and comfortable in our lives, when everything seems to be going okay, it's tempting to not want to rock the boat by the idea that perhaps I'm encouraged to have an amazing faith. No, I'd rather just say everything I learned in Sunday school and maybe a couple of the things I learned in seminary, that will do me. God knows what he's going to do. Prayer, that would just be only for me and my benefit, but I'm fine. I've got my confirmation faith, I've wrapped it in the cloth of speculation, and I've got it buried in my pocket so I can give it to God when he returns. Sometimes it's tempting to avoid the call to have an amazing faith. Or even on the other side of the spectrum, when things are going so horribly, so terribly, that nothing ever seems to get better, it's tempting to avoid the idea that maybe God's calling you to an amazing faith. And no, you'd rather say, God knows what he's going to do anyway. It doesn't matter. And with just a few breaths, faith becomes fate. Yeah, it's easy to pull that non-reciprocity card whenever we're asked to have an amazing faith. And yet I really do agree with the rest of you. The rest of you who, when the reading was just read, you thought to yourself, immediately it came to you, why? The illocutionary force of that text is encouragement. Encouragement to copy that man's faith. That's what Jesus was on about. And the mystery of the Holy Trinity, sometime, somehow, God can be amazed by us. I couldn't help but think about that time when Abraham had his knife poised over Isaac's head, ready to come down and kill. And the voice of God, the angel of the Lord, cried out, "Abraham, Abraham, do not touch the boy. Let no harm come to him. Now I know that you fear me because you are willing to sacrifice your son, your one and only son." Yeah, the amazing thing about God is that he deigns. Somehow he reveals himself to us as a God who can hear our prayer, who can learn about us, who can even be amazed by us. Luke tells us all the time about people being amazed. He talks about people who, when some shepherds show up, talking about angels singing in heaven and a baby lying in hay, the people are amazed. Or when Jesus is carried by his parents into the temple and into the arms of Simeon, we hear Simeon cry out, "This child will be a light to lighten the Gentiles and a glory of the people Israel. My God, I have seen your salvation." And we hear that Mary and Joseph were amazed. And Luke tells us of time and time and time again when the crowds, the disciples, and even the religious leaders can be amazed at the teaching and the miracles of Jesus. And one time, Luke tells us, Jesus was amazed. "Not even in Israel have I found such a faith." So how do we recognize this amazing faith? What are the marks of this amazing faith? Well, I think the first thing we notice about an amazing faith is that it's a "you can do it" attitude. Say it, "you can do it." Say it again, "you can do it." Now, don't say that to me, and don't say it to your neighbor, and God forbid, don't say it to yourself. Say it to God. Pray it to God. You can do it. It's time we take that omnipotence word off our shelf and actually put it into practice in our prayer life, in our daily life, and say, "God, you can do it." That centurion came and he says, "I'm a man of authority. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes. I tell another soldier, come, and he comes. And I tell my servant, do this, and he does it." And Jesus, "Say the word, let my servant be healed." You can do it. An amazing faith has a "you can do it" attitude toward God. The second mark of an amazing faith, I think, is humility and that sense of unworthiness. It's that attitude that we don't deserve it. Even if God can do it, we don't deserve it. An amazing faith is a humble faith. You know, when those Jewish elders first showed up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, you should come, he deserves it," we might have thought that elder, that centurion was playing politics. He was playing that you get more flies with honey. But when the friends show up, and Jesus is already on his way, he's coming to the house, and the centurion's friends speak first to the centurion and say, "I'm not worthy to see you. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof." We know that an amazing faith is a faith of humility and a sense of unworthiness. And finally, the last mark, which is really the first mark, where it all begins, is an amazing faith is always established and grounded in the prior activity and promise of God. We're told at the beginning of this text that Jesus was coming into Capernaum after filling the ears of the people with what has been called the Sermon on the Plain. We know that the centurion has heard the stories about Jesus. He's not just thinking, "Maybe this Jesus is a healer, maybe he can help me." He knows this Jesus is the one who preaches my way or the highway. Build a house on my words or build it on sinking sand. He's the Jesus who speaks for God. He's the Jesus who cast out a demon in Capernaum already. He's the Jesus who has proven himself as God's ambassador. And now to this name, Jesus, as the name by which God apparently wants to be known, the centurion prays, "Heal my servant." The Old Testament reading this past Sunday was about the building of the temple. And Solomon said, "Lord, you put your name on this temple. It can't hold you. You don't live here. You live in the heavens. But you put your name on this temple. So anybody who's heard about your marvelous acts and believes in you, whether they be me, your people Israel, or even a foreigner, if they pray to this temple because you put your name here, they believe your promise, hear their prayer." An amazing faith is always established and grounded in the prior activity and promise of God. So how then do we get this amazing faith? How can we share in this amazing faith that we're encouraged to copy? By hearing again and again about God's amazing grace. hearing again and again about all of the things he has done. He is the one who rules over all things. He's the one who knows the hairs on your head, and he's the one who sent Jesus to be your Savior. That the Jesus who can do all things is the Jesus who called you by name, into whom you were baptized, on whom you feed, and on whom you rely. As St. Paul told those Roman Christians so long ago, he says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" Or again, the words that he wrote to the Philippians, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." An amazing faith wants to hear again and again that I am a child of God, that because Christ is my Lord, I can call God my Father. Amazing faith wants to believe in the promise that he desires to hear our prayers. And sure, he's going to take care of everybody. But if you have a word to say to him, if you want to bend his ear, if you think that maybe he might be able to help you out of a spot you're in, believe he can do it. Say, "God, you can do it. Help me out." An amazing faith is put into practice in our lives and in our prayers. And it grows as we hear again and again of God's amazing grace. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe, that will not murmur nor complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain, will call upon its God. Amen.